Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the PIT Radio News. But first, we have Paul Harvey talking about If I Were the Devil.
If I were the devil. If I were the devil. If I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about, however necessary, to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, Our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies, and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
And you know, this was recorded back in 1965. And it's coming true. It really all is coming true. And Anyway, I have my sister on as a guest today, so her name is Gwen. I'll just say hi to her. How are you doing, Gwen?
I'm doing fine, Gary. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. I'm kind of excited about getting the show started here. And anyway, I'm going to talk about this is very important to me, and it's important, should be important to everyone. Richard Pan from California, a senator, introduced a bill, SB 1424. If you have time, folks, check it out. But this is a censorship bill that would even affect podcast shows such as these and would take them off the air just because we didn't do something right, if we didn't post proof of what we say. We'd have to post some proof, and that's pretty hard to do in a radio show, right as we're running. But this is violates the First Amendment. The government's not supposed to regulate or tell us what we can say. And this is how they start to control us. You know, when they start to control free speech and then they disarm us, that's the Second Amendment, the two most important amendments in our Constitution. When they start to disarm us, the rest of the Constitution will be very easy to strip away because we won't be able to criticize or disagree. And they start going after podcasts such as these, and they'll start going after pretty soon your talk radio, any opposition. And they'll start going after any other thing, maybe newspaper print eventually. I mean, this is how they start. They never stop. Once they get a taste of blood, they're like a shark. They just want more. And that is one of the topics I really want to passion about. And if you guys want to call in, any people, a member of the audience wants to call in, the guest call-in number is 646-787-8534. And you can certainly voice your opinion. Now, remember, we don't want any foul language. If you use foul language, you'll be deleted immediately off the show. And another thing I want to talk a little bit about is, you know, the Republicans promised us that they would repeal Obamacare. And they keep stonewalling it. Well, they did repeal the mandate, but that's really nothing. And, of course, people are still complaining because the prices are still skyrocketing, and they're not going to stop. And it's just like taxation. It is a form of taxation is what it is. And it will destroy eventually the country. This has got to be repealed. I would like to see more competition in place. Really, the government really shouldn't have any place at all in regulating our health care. In fact, if you look at the articles in their Constitution, there's nothing it says about health care or anything else. The role of the federal government is defined in the articles, and they have very limited roles. You know, the states can probably run it a lot better than the government. There is a 10th Amendment, too, and the 10th Amendment actually gives the states powers that the federal government does not have. And that's, you know, that can be debated in the states. You're closer to your congressman in the states, and you can be far more effective, especially in, like, our state of North Dakota, where we can actually write them a letter, and we can actually be far more effective with them because they're closer to us. The federal government, we hardly have any say at all. And the federal government, this one-size-fits-all mentality, does not work. It just doesn't work in real time. I mean, what may be good for a city probably is horrible for another state or another city. You know, and this is where the federal government is wrong. They cannot play God. They're playing God. And only God can promise and deliver paradise. The only thing that human beings can do in power, they can promise paradise, but they'll never deliver it. See, if they deliver misery, they can do that. And anyway, I'm going to turn this over to Gwen, let her talk a little bit here and see what she thinks.
Well, as far as insurance, I wish I was a little better versed. But I do know, you know, while talking to our sister Janelle, she said since she's has gone from her Blue Cross to Obamacare that her premiums have doubled and her deductions deductibles have gone skyrocketing. Her deductible now is at, I think she said, $10,000 or $12,000. Well, you know, you go in and you have something that's under that, you have to pay for that out of pocket first. And, we're lucky that Doug is on the state, insurance, because we do have insurance, although our deductibles have gone up as well, but at least we don't have to deal with that part yet. You know, they're talking about changing that too somewhere down the road, I guess, but it hasn't been done thus far, As far as Obama, I wish I was a little better versed as far as it goes, but just from what I've heard, Arizona.
You've been affected, but you have been affected by it some, though. I mean, it has gone up some, deductibles.
Our deductibles on our insurance, but we also, they switched our insurance, because we're under the state plan. It went from Blue Cross to Sanford insurance, but we're still blessed to have insurance. You know what I mean? So, but I do agree with the state, because what we need here is not going to be the same kind of coverage that people in New York are going to need, or larger cities like that. It isn't. So I don't know how they can say a one size fits all.
I think our state is a little bit more conservative than most in the other states. There's some other states that are conservative too, but you go to places like New York and stuff. Well, the illegals, if you go to California, they're covered better than the citizens. And you know, anytime somebody comes in here illegal, I'm all for legal immigration. But I don't want criminals coming in. I don't think anybody does. But it seems like they're coming in. They commit murder. We had a report on Kate Steinle. She was murdered by an illegal alien. Well, he claims it was an accident. He said his gun went off three times accidentally. Well, that's impossible. Anybody that knows just a little bit about firearms knows that a gun doesn't go bang, bang, bang by itself. You know what I mean? You know, they act as if somehow that the gun itself has a brain or something. But he got he didn't get any charges. You know, he got, I guess he got a gun charge, but they send him back to you know, wherever he goes, back to Mexico, and then they come back 3 weeks later and they're all vetted and you know their charges are clear, and that they come back, they sit there and they hack into other people's social security accounts and get their social security. That's a concern of mine too, because we paid into it our whole life. And these guys didn't pay anything into it, and yet they're getting freebies. There's a real welfare case I think we'd like to see ended, because these guys, when they commit violence in this country, they don't have any rights in this country like we do. You know, anybody comes in there, I purchased a shotgun a while back. And of course, you have to fill out this 4473 form. Well, now they allow illegals to buy guns, too. Under certain situations, now illegals can purchase them, and they're not supposed to have possession of any firearm because they're not a citizen. Well, that's the thing, too. They get that when they – and some of them maybe will never break the law, but other ones will break the law. Well, they already did break the law when they're illegal. When they come in, they broke the law. They committed a felony right there. And, you know, I know people who are trying to do it legally, and they've been trying for 10 years, and they still haven't been successful. And these guys deserve a break, you know, trying to do it legally. My hats go off to them because they love our country. But the people coming in illegally, what they're trying to do, instead of assimilating to our laws, they're trying to Vulcanize our laws. In other words, they're trying to bring their laws into our country, and that's why their country failed and their country has become a hellhole. You know, where they come into our country, they want to turn it into the same place. Well, then where do people go? Because ours is the last beacon of freedom. Anyway, your thoughts on that?
Well, my thoughts are actually just like yours. One thing that, you know, when you were talking about the insurance that bothers me is I don't understand why all the people that come in can get on our welfare system and they aren't citizens. That part I just don't get.
I have an answer for that, though. I have an answer. You know what that is? It's votes. They want, you know, there's one party that wants their votes. That's called desperation when they're wanting the illegal votes. You know, that's the answer.
Right.
But it's very immoral, and it should be. The people that promote this, the politicians, when they promote this stuff, I would say that should be an impeachable, even jail time for our politicians. But it seems like they can do anything and get away with it. But that's an illegal thing. I mean, they're not supposed to vote. Illegals are not supposed to vote, not till they become citizens, you know. But yet, that's what they want. A lot of them have been. Yeah, go ahead.
Right. Well, I was just going to say, you know, one thing that I don't understand was that part, you know. And you know, I agree with you. How do you differentiate? You know, I mean, there's a legal way to get into this country and there's an illegal way to get into this country. And, you know, yes, it might take a little more paperwork and you need your green card, but I mean, I just feel like, you know, if people would abide by the laws, our laws could be more open to letting them in. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be a balance. There must be a balance, because I know that there's people that are desperate out there, and that has to be horribly, you know, I can't put myself in their situation, but I also mm-hmm. feel like, how do you differentiate between the bad people and the good people, you know? And you know, that there's gotta be an answer. What it is, I wish I knew, but you know, there's gotta be a protocol that people have to abide by to get into this country, you know, and become a citizen.
Oh, yeah.
Then. I don't want to become a citizen. Well, for my take, you know, a lot of it is because you don't have to pay taxes then. You don't have to pay for health care. You don't have to, you know, well, yeah, that would be the American dream for all of us if we wouldn't have to do that, but that's
well,
not.
They're being treated as a first-class citizen, and that just subjugates us down to second-class citizens.
Right, right.
And that's what's happening.
Right. I have a hard time with that. But like I said, you know, I think both my husband and I consider ourselves conservatives, Gary. You know that.
Yeah.
I don't want to say somebody lives, you know, because I don't know how somebody lives in a different part of the country. But I also know that I know how our kids, for instance, who have lived in different areas of the country, a lot of different, their thoughts and views, you know, and they've been there. They've noticed it and they've done it. So they are definitely more conservative after living in, you know, different areas of the country. I don't want to say what areas, but they've lived in big cities and they've lived north, south, east, and west now. So, you know what I mean? I just feel like, I guess I am not opposed to a wall. I'm sorry. I feel like there has to be something done. And once the wall would be in place, then I think we should have, you know, the checkpoints, and there will be protocol, paperwork that will need to be filled out, and then they can come into our country legally.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know?
I agree with you. And I'm going to tell you something, too. The vast majority of people agree with you, too. But that would upset the Democrats' plan because they want them coming in to get for the votes. They need votes to get their votes to get back in power. They're so desperate for power. There's people out there like that. They just want power. That's all they want. They're drunk with it. And there's some on the Republican side like that, too. But there's a handful of people that support what we're supporting. Trump, like I said, I don't agree with everything Trump has done. I don't believe in, like I said, I believe in, well, some of the stuff, like I said, he wanted to have this bump fire ban. You know, a person can mill that out. I talked to a Secret Service agent just a couple of weeks ago, and he said somebody could mill that out in 30 minutes in the basement. I said, that wouldn't work. He said, the criminals will still have them. That's the point. That's what's wrong with any type of ban. And we're going to kind of shift over to the school shootings here. And I put up a post, this was a couple of weeks ago now, and I said, you know, okay, you want gun-free zones. There's only one way I can see that would work. You'd have to lock all the doors, and you're going to have metal detectors on the only entrance, and somebody inside there with a wand to wand somebody coming in. If they see somebody coming in, with trips off a metal detector, and you see somebody coming in, well, you're going to have to wand them. Because if you don't do that, well, then we're just going to have to live with these shootings. You know, if you look at courthouses and stuff, most courthouses have metal detectors. They even have armed guards in there. And I'm not opposed to armed guards in the school. I mean, if somebody wants to get training, if somebody, either a retired police officer or somebody wants to get training, wants something to do with their retired, get the training, and they should be allowed to carry in there. And I think that would end it. I know Israel did this. I mean, they actually armed up the teachers in Israel, and they haven't really had, I don't think they had any school shootings since 1974. And if it works there, it should work here. Because most of the people that do this, you know, they'll probably commit suicide. You say, well, they commit suicide anyway. No, they commit suicide because they're in the blaze of glory. They want to go out in the blaze of glory. But if they're stopped, that isn't what they want happening. You know, it just seems like they're cowards themselves. They don't want to get shot, you know. So this is why we have a concealed carry. In fact, North Dakota right now is constitutional carry. So in many places, you don't even need to have a permit. You can carry it now. So,
right.
I'm for that. I think that wins that the people. That's a deterrent. In fact, I think it saves lives because the bad guy, if you notice, if we ban all guns, we ban every gun made and take them out of our homes, the bad guys will still have them. By definition, a criminal who breaks the law. And guess what? Our homes are gun-free. They can come in and do whatever they want, and they have no fear. When we're armed, they're fearful of us.
Well, that's just it. I agree with you with that. I mean, not to be, you know, I don't want to, you know, sound overly one way or the other, but I can't understand where, you know, if this would turn out to be where you have to give up your guns, then why wouldn't people be breaking into your house left and right? I mean, you know, hopefully mm-hmm. not here. In North Dakota, we live in a very wonderful state. You know, I think people have their thoughts straight. I think raising our children is still, for the most part, they're raised right from wrong. You know what I mean? I so many mm-hmm. people now with their kids are, you know, you're perfect. Don't listen to the teacher. There's nothing ever wrong with you. It's always, you know, the child is right. The child can do anything. And if you do anything they do wrong, then the parents get into trouble for it. And that mm-hmm. to me, you know, we have to take a stance back with our children, number one. Our children should come first.
Well,
and
one thing we need is more God. I think that we've gotten rid of God now, and you know, Satan moves in. That's what we always say, you know.
Yeah. People are always questioning, where is God? Where is God? Well, you kicked him out. You know, how many people actually pray? You know, my husband and I pray every morning we go to work. You know, do I pray all the time? Mm-hmm. Probably not nearly as often as I should. But you know what I mean? But I talk to God a lot. That's for sure. And I truly believe in him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, whether you've been a good person in the past or made mistakes, even with President Trump, yes, he's made mistakes.
Oh, yes.
I'm sure he's one of them. I still, does he believe in
God? Well, he's human like the rest of us, and he admits that. And the thing about President Trump, I mean, look what he has to endure. So many death threats directed at him and stuff like that. And, you know, yes, and of course, he needs to have protection. He even has Army SEALs protecting him because there's people, I've never seen this in my life, but I've seen people put on YouTube actually threatening the president, putting him on it, which is a felony, but they put it on so everybody can see it. And I've never seen that in my life. You know, if one of us did that to Obama, can you imagine what would happen? The Secret Service would be out there the next day, you know.
If you can imagine, you know, Madonna making her, you know, about, has she ever thought about killing the president? Yes. Well, imagine if she would have said, have you ever, you know, that she imagined killing Obama. What would have happened there? You know what I mean? It's a double standard, definitely a double standard. You know, I agree with you with that.
That's the problem when you get one party in, and sometimes Republicans are guilty of this too, they'll selectively enforce the law. I mean,
I've
seen protests where Antifa, that's the Democrat gun owners, you know, they support Democrat politics, where the police are told to stand down, and these Antifa groups, they have guns. I haven't seen anybody point guns at anybody, but they use them to scare people. This one guy, he was trying to get to his group. They wouldn't let him go. They just surrounded him. They wouldn't let him go, and there's two guys holding the guns. They're pointing down, of course, but still, that's scary. And I would say I would think that would be a crime. You can't sit there and stop somebody from going somewhere. He was just trying to go, and he videotaped it, and you could just see him shaking. I mean, I think anybody would be shaking if somebody, they're scared. They had their mask on. They put masks on to conceal who they are. I guess they can break the law thinking that they can't be caught if they have a mask on. You can't see their face, which right there, you know, tells you a lot about the Democrats. You know, they haven't been always like this, but they're not a liberal group anymore. They've become communists. They're socialists, and socialism 100% of the time leads to communism. So,
yeah. Do you remember, though, our parents growing up? I remember mom was very much a Republican. Her family was Republican. Dad, Democrat. Dad was a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
And I still remember, he didn't understand it all, but I remember them sitting down and talking about situations and talking about legislation and talking about things, but they never fought about it. You know what I mean? It
mm-hmm.
wasn't, now it's come to the point where the liberals want, I mean, they don't care what's best, just so they win.
Mm-hmm.
And I see it even with some of the Republicans, and that is so wrong. Why can't they just say, okay, let's try and work together and solve the problem? But that's not the case. It's more of a win. It's like they're playing a game of basketball, high school basketball, and winning is everything.
Yep.
You know, it's, and in high school it is, but it shouldn't be for adults. It shouldn't be for our legislators.
No.
You know,
well, the thing is, there's a party, basically a Democrat party. They come first. That's the way they look at it. They don't care who they destroy. if you get in the way of them, they'll destroy you financially. There's been lawyers, there's been people who oppose them. They get wiped out, they get destroyed. And, you know, the government, they use government taxpayer money to fund their side, which they can wipe out anybody
right.
because they got unlimited sources. So the person basically has to submit or just go away. And I don't know how you can stop that. They don't obey the law anyway. You can write all laws you want, and they're not going to stop, you know, because they'll just bypass it. That's left for you. I've said this online. I'm going to say it right here. They become extremely dangerous. They're dangerous to our country. They're dangerous to individuals, you know. They're kind of like our mass shooters. They're dangerous, you know, because eventually what's happening is almost like Adolf Hitler. I've heard these protests, these young kids in college, you know, they're going to be our leaders someday. And they're talking about, you know, they had these gun protests because of these school shootings. Some of them are actually suggesting to shoot the gun owners. Oh, I said, Adolf Hitler did the same thing. I said, and look what happened to the Jews. I said, there's the biggest mass killing of all, what they did to the Jews. 6 million Jews went to their death. You know, that's a big mass killing.
Yeah.
So
you're right. And when all of these things happen, you know, it's so funny because violence doesn't help violence. And that's what our country's come to. Is the only way to take care of a something violent is to do something violent. And, you know, like you've always said, it's not the guns. It's the people that handle them. And
yeah, the gun is just a tool.
I'm sorry. I can go on BizMan Online right now, and I can buy a gun. You know, will it be registered under my name? No, because, you know, I'm paying the guy cash. You're never going to stop that. You're never going to stop that, no matter what you do. So if you go to a store and buy a gun, and granted, I like the background checks. I don't think there's anything wrong with what they're doing now. But to say that we can't have guns, the only people that are going to be out there trying to buy them are the bad people if they get taken away from all of us.
Well, the thing is about this background check, I'm going to tell you something. There's another bill they're trying to say it's going to be a complete background check. And I'm against that. Say if you want to sell a gun to a friend, you know, I mean, that's fine because that's, you know, you should be able to do what you want with your property that way. It already is illegal to sell it to a criminal, you know, so you can go to jail for selling it to a felon. But to have a background check, a complete background check, is actually registration. See, they aren't going to tell you registration because registration is how they confiscate. That the next step is confiscation. But they say, we'll have to have an ultimate background check. So if you want to pass your guns down to your kids, you got to go through a dealer, pay $60, $70 to approve it. And the thing is, if your kids haven't committed crimes, it's, you know, well, that isn't the purpose of it because, like I said, most kids aren't going to go out and commit a crime. If your parents stay together, most children don't go out and commit crimes, you know. I mean, there's always exceptions. But, I mean, kids break up, and most of these people, it's children that do these shootings a lot of times. It's from broken families. Sometimes they're involved with illegal drugs or are on some type of prescription drug that can probably alter their thought waves. You know, they're on some type of Xanax or whatever it is, and that can affect person's thinking too, some of these prescription drugs, you know. And,
right.
You know, that... But the thing is, we're never going to be able to stop all shootings. That's an impossibility. But we're trying to contain it as much as we can. And, you know, if you get rid of the Second Amendment, well, the first will follow. And then pretty soon, you're going to have a country that everybody hates, even the people who are for repealing the Second Amendment, which they can't do. It won't happen. They just can't do it because it takes three-quarters of the states.
Our forefathers. And doing. And you're right.
You're breaking up just a little bit here.
I'm sorry. I believe if we get, you know, I truly believe if we get God back into our school system and, you know, Doug and I will sit down and say grace even if we're at a restaurant. I'm not doing it out loud. I'm not doing it to offend anybody else if there's a Muslim person sitting next to me. It's not. So I'm trying. It's my belief. If he wants to say a prayer, he's more than welcome to. And I feel that's the way it should be in school. If we want to celebrate Christmas, then we should be able to. And if they want to have a little celebration, you know, they should be able to. It's, you know, that's, please,
but
you can't.
Can I ask you something?
Yes.
Can you celebrate in your city? Can you celebrate Christmas at the schools? Or did they get rid of that?
You know what? I know that when Ethan was in school, they did, you know, well, I shouldn't say this. I should say, you know, I haven't, my kids are so cool for so long, Gary. It's hard to say anymore. I don't really remember. I know that they celebrated Christmas. Did they celebrate the Christianity part of it? I don't really think, you know what I mean? I mean, I remember going singing.
I know, you go to some state. You go to some states, you can't even say a prayer in school. I mean, they actually,
right.
It's just like committing a gun crime in their mind. That's worse than committing a gun crime. They'll have psychological people with, they'll probably say that you're believing in some type of fairy tale. And that's what they're trying to do, a lot of the leaders, you know, if they don't believe in it, you know. And I think our state is more conservative. I haven't been to school for a long, 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 long time. I mean, I'm not going to say how long because, I mean, I'm ancient compared to a lot of these people. But I know when I went to school, we did celebrate Christmas and we exchanged gifts. And it was fun, too. I mean, it wasn't a religious connotation to it.
The thing is, you know, O Holy Night. We sang all those songs. And now it's Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And, you know, they sing Christmas songs. They aren't religious songs, so now I guess I don't know. I can't say because it's been a long time since my kids were in school.
Well,
you know,
I remember when I went to school. This was back in the 70s, early 70s, and I remember they had a prayer for benediction. You know, when you graduated, there was a prayer. You had a priest there, and he said a prayer. I don't know if they do that now, but they had a prayer and stuff like that. So there was, you know, God was allowed. You know. So.
Definitely. No, there was definitely, and, you know, prayer in school and you know, and I guess I just feel like, you know, we need to get back to some of our basics. We truly do. We need to get back where parents are trying to be good parents. And there's a big difference between discipline and abuse. And we're so scared of something being abuse to a child, which it isn't. You know, a swat in their butt. If they're going to do something naughty, a swat in the butt is not going to hurt them. I'm sorry.
Well,
beating
that's
them, yeah.
Fleshy part of the body too, and it takes a lot to harm that part of the body. I mean, you have to use like a baseball bat if you want to harm it. You know, a swat on the butt isn't going to harm it. Might make it red, but it goes away the next day. You know.
But I mean, we were brought up where, you know, I remember with, you know, Mindy, our daughter, I remember one time when she ran out in the street and I brought her back and I gave her a few good swats on the butt. Yes, she cried a couple of times, but did she run out in the street again? No, she never did.
Oh.
She knew, okay, that was something that I better not do. You know, she was old enough to know, she was 3.5, 4 years old, but it scared me so bad. Because she could have been hit. Well, okay, I could have said, no, no, don't do that again. Well, you know my daughter, she would have done it again. You know, but did I did I spank her off? Very seldom. I didn't need to. She was overall a very good kid, but, you know, she was ornery. You know, remember her. And, you know, remember Mom and Dad. They were strict with us. Yeah, we got a few spankings along the way, but you need to raise your kids. I think you, like I said, you need to get God back in the community and back in your house. You know, don't be scared to talk to your kids about God and drugs and smoking and your friends. And all that has to be open. And even though it really wasn't as open, as, you know, back when we were growing up, you know, God forbid, talk about sex or anything to your kids. But now you have to be where you should be talking to your kids. You should be explaining this can happen, or, you know, I'm not saying say no to everything or whatever, but explain what could happen, the circumstances with guns, with everything. People need to sit down and relate to their kids and not expect, excuse me, but the world to teach them. You know what I mean? And now they do. Oh, they'll look at watching TV. Kids are so impressionable. They need their parents. Whether they like it or not, I can guarantee you they will appreciate it someday down the road. And I know because I've got 3 wonderful grandchildren that are being raised by a daughter that, you know, was raised the way I felt fit. I mean, even if she didn't agree with me, she did a good job. So I'm thinking, well, she took something good out of it. You know?
Oh, yeah. That was a lot of fun, though, getting together on Christmas, too, you know.
Every year, you don't know.
It might be the last Christmas for some of us. You just don't know, you know.
Well, exactly. So. But as far as, you know, gun control and stuff, you know, even these states that have a stronger gun control with their states, those states are the ones that are, they're not immune from mass shootings. You know, it's still happening.
In fact, I'm going to tell you, look at Chicago. I don't think you can even buy a gun in Chicago, or a handgun anyway, and they got the highest crimes, especially with firearms, of all, because and other weapons, because see, a gun, like in our state, that even deters knifings, you know, and people kill people with screwdrivers, believe it or not, or hammers. I mean, there was a person killed not too far from Jamestown with a hammer. They don't even know what the motive was, because they didn't get anything taken. I mean, none of the they didn't lose any money. The money was still in the wallet. There was obviously hate there or something, but they got killed. Nobody did find out who did it, but it was a hammer, you know.
I'll tell you what, if they take away guns thinking this is going to solve the problem, somebody will figure out a way where you can shoot knives very fast or something like that. They'll come up with something else.
Well,
and you know,
well, the thing is, they're never going to be able. There's 300 million guns out there. There's just no way they can do it. And they're never going to put people in jail, because there's probably going to be very few people are going to turn them in. I can't say no one, but there's, you know, in Australia, they tried that. They had a buyback program, mandatory. And they had to turn them in. Only one third of the people turned them in. What were you going to do with the rest? Going to throw 20 million people in jail? You can't do it, because you'll never get a conviction anyway. That would deplete all the resources you have in the country. You can't do it, you know. You just wouldn't have the money to pay for it. People would starve to death. What's that?
I said that's the problem. I don't know what the answer is for sure when schools, and maybe it should be. Maybe it should be just like you're going into, you know, the police station now. When we go into our police station, you have to go through a metal detector. Maybe we'll need to put a metal detector in everything and have a guard stand watch. So when somebody comes through and it beeps, they check them. That's just the way it is. You know, if parents really want to, they'll pay the extra money to the taxes and they'll have it done. I don't know what the exact answer is, but I know that just saying, okay, we're going to take all your guns away, that's not the answer, because you need to educate people. It's not going to happen.
I think it'd even start a civil war if they tried to do that. But the thing is, I believe that people should be allowed to carry them where they can. You know, if I always said too, if it's a building, if they allow it in public buildings, some public buildings maybe should be allowed. You know, it's just up to the voters. But you know, as far as like private businesses, I don't think unless they put a sign up. I don't think they should, government should not involve themselves with a private business. They want people to carry them, let them carry them in there. It's up to the business, not up to the government, you know, because people, you know, what's that?
We can get guns. I said, look at North Dakota. We can get guns. And I just read yesterday that per 10,000 capita, we are the second safest state, North Dakota, in the nation. Mm-hmm. The first safest. Or the second safest city is Fargo, North Dakota, and the rest of us is, 100,000 or less. But we're the second safest. And the first safest actually is Honolulu, Hawaii. So I guess, you know, it's kind of funny, but they showed all 50 states. And, of course, the ones that were the least were the ones that probably had the most gun control in them or the most liberals. And that, to me, is kind of funny, I guess. I don't know.
Well, you know, I always make kind of a little joke. You know, I said North Dakota, where there's probably more guns than people in this state, because a lot of people own more than one. You know, some people, you know, have maybe 20 or 30. You know, they collect them, and you know, and they're not going to go out and commit crimes with them. They do. You see me shoot. You know what I do? I don't go out and threaten people. The only thing I shoot probably in murder is probably cardboard boxes and tin cans, and it's a lot of fun. And that's nothing wrong with that. And I mean, all the legislators, hey, I have no problem with that either. You know, a lot of them know that I shoot. I posted videos of me shooting on Facebook, and they're still up. Nobody's complained about them. But then you don't see any blood or guts either, because that is upsetting to people. But shooting a cardboard box, that's a lot of fun, you know. And,
why people like, you know, Jim Carrey can put draw the pictures of Trump and draw all these horrible pictures and stuff and post them. And what was that comedian? She does it too, that redhead gal. And she posted that.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. I'll think of it. I won't think of it probably during the showtime. Afterwards, I'll think of it. Yeah, she had a head cut off or something. In fact,
yes.
Trump's son actually thought that his head was cut off, you know, because it looked pretty real. She had it all painted up with blood, you know, and nothing really happened to her either. But you did get shamed.
Yeah, but I mean, still, now she apologized. Now she took it back. Kathy, what was her last name? I know her first name is Kathy, but anyway, I don't watch her. So.
Kathy. Yeah, I know it is. Yeah, Kathy. Yeah, I know she is.
You know,
yes, and she, her career, I think, is pretty much done anyway, because that turned a lot of people off.
But I mean, I just don't understand where, the consensus here is, you know, what's good for the goose has got to be good for the gander, right? I mean, you know, they can't allow certain things and then say, well, you can't write this, because, like I said, if it was, I just would wonder if she would have done that and had Obama's head hanging there. And I don't agree with it with anybody. So I don't want to say that. What I'm saying is, think of even the backlash she would have gotten there would have been a lot more critical than what she got with Trump. You know.
Well, like I said, that just shows that one side is full of hate and the other side isn't. Now, I have said with Obama many times, and I said this on there, and this is perfectly legal. I said people like him, I mean, he should have been impeached because he did commit a crime, and there was plenty of evidence, but they shoveled that away. But there was evidence with Fast and Furious where he armed up our enemies. That's called treason, because you're giving aid and comfort to people that want to kill us. You know, you give guns to an enemy, what are they going to use it for? They're going to probably use it to kill Americans. And that was a crime. And I said, in something like that, that's impeachable. And after that, he's impeached. You can't convict, or you can't draw up, you can't convict them when they're sitting president. You can impeach them. Then he should have been prosecuted. They should have convened a grand jury. And that's the right way to do it with it, you know. And then whatever penalty they impose is, what's that?
You know, how about the money? All the money we have given.
You're breaking up here a little bit.
I said all the money we've given these people, that's why they have been able to build up their arsenals the way they have. You know, our country has okay. You know, you can't give somebody $400 million and look away and say, oh, that was just, you know, that wasn't in turn of getting, you know, a person back or sending. You know what I mean? The money that is exchanged alone is, you know, we're funding them. It's not only we're giving them guns, we're funding them to build up their armies and their nuclear bases and all this stuff. It's sad. We have done this for too many years, so we need to quit.
The problem with the left, they hate our country. They really hate us. They hate us because we have freedom. They don't like what we do. And like I said, they'll arm up our enemies, or they try to disarm us. And I mean, you can just see their patterns. And I think there's a lot of other people seeing that too. Not just us, but there's a lot of other people seeing the same thing. If we see it, there's probably millions and millions and millions of others that see it too, which will turn them off. And like I said, this is why we got to vote this fall. Make sure these guys don't get back in. So.
Yeah. And sometimes, Gary, I feel like there's such, I always hate to use the word hate. But sometimes I feel, you know, it's a competition, yes, which is too bad. But sometimes I feel you must be a realist. And that's where the left wing, I believe, is where they aren't realists. They're ones where if you just talk to them, just coddle them, you know, they will come to our side. And these people over, in Syria and they're all their countries, Iraq, all of those, they're fighting. They've always been that way. You're not going to go over there and smooth things over and say, hey, you know what, if we just talk about this, you know, we can do that in America. We should be able to, but you can't do that with, you know, Middle East countries and
well, where they're
intent on
killing somebody, sometimes you're just going to have to bury them. You're going to have to, like I said, bomb them into submission. I mean, that sounds horrible, but sometimes war is necessary. It's a necessary evil. And if you look in the Bible, war is fine if it's used properly, you know, because some people, like
right.
I said, if they're that bad, killing isn't always wrong or immoral. Killing in self-defense is not an immoral thing, although people will live with that for the rest of their life. You know, it's going to be something that, you know, if you see a violent death of another human being, even though the person probably deserved it, it's still going to be shocking, and you're never going to forget that. But still, if you read the St. James Version of the Bible, sometimes killing is a necessity. I know it sounds horrible, but it's true, you know.
Well,
so.
Right. But, I mean, I just, yeah, the thing is we're not going to be able to reason, is my point, with Middle Eastern countries,
mm-hmm.
you know, the countries. You can't reason. And that's what, you know, the liberals try and do. They want to reason with them, and you just can't. It's not, there's no gray area. It's black or white, you know, when
exactly.
you're dealing with that. You know,
mm-hmm.
so, I mean, it's
exactly.
too bad. I wish answer. There's not, you know, our world has gotten so big and it's gotten so vulnerable. But, you know, like I don't even order anything online anymore. I don't, you know, my, you know, I just, I don't trust the internet. And that's sad because there's a lot of things
well,
that
to the
I
point,
like.
You can't trust. It gets to the point where you can't really trust anyone. You don't know who they are. The thing is about scammers and stuff like on the internet, they can be very charming people. You know, they can win you over.
That's
a lot of people are won over, and then you find out when they ask you for your bank information, you know right away that's a scam. I don't even talk to those people. You know, if they sit there and, you know, they might
exactly.
make the nicest message, but I don't answer them. I said I don't really answer anybody. Some people ask where I'm from, I don't even answer them, and they'll say, hello. I don't say nothing, you know. I mean, they might be honest, and again, might not be. So.
They're still trying to pick like our mother and, you know, older people. And those are the people that are more vulnerable,
mm-hmm.
you know. So it's,
exactly.
yeah, it is.
It's a, and you know, by the way, we're getting up close to the top of the hour. I'm going to, there hasn't been any callers or anything. Well, this is still a new show. But I'm going to see, do you remember the show, the Monroes, remember at the trailer house back way back in time, you know,
oh,
you lived there and you used to watch it.
Long time ago.
I watch it on
now.
Saturday and Sunday, you know, Westerns. It's a Western.
A Western. I remember the name. I don't know, Gary, you're going back.
Anyway, I'm really good friends with one of the stars. I'm a really good friend. I got her profile up, and I don't know if she'll see this, but I may just type and ask her to call in and let her say hi. I don't think she'll see it, though, during this time. She doesn't look like she's online right now, but she has posted something 3 hours ago, and I've been friends with her. She's called in other shows I've been on, and, you know, we've talked, I think, several times on the phone. So, but her name is Tammy Locke, you know. So, anyway. She played Little Amy. The show aired back in the 60s, and she was like 6 years old back in 65. She was born in 59, but she was just a kid back then. And
yeah, okay.
So, anyway, you're breaking up again.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I was just going to talk.
Sorry.
I was going to try to contact her, but I don't think I can. So, I mean, she usually, if I kept call or talked to her like 2-3 hours ago, I probably could have gotten her. But she likes calling in, and she's a great singer, too, by the way, very talented. So I thought I'd share this. And we kind of end on a little lighter note here before we call her quits here. And anyway,
well,
we got
a very enlightening conversation, Gerhardt. And, you know, I love you, and I respect you, and I'm very proud of you as well. You know,
I love
like
you,
I
too,
said,
my sis. So,
Not everybody is going to agree with your position or my position. And, you know, one thing I want to, and I know you feel this way too, though, but you would be very, very happy, wouldn't you, if we could just work together and wouldn't have to fight with the other side, with the left side. And North Dakota is still known to reach across the aisle and do that. And I'm really proud of
our state
for that.
It, That's great. Okay, great with reaching across the aisle, but I don't want to reach across the aisle like the Republicans did and end up giving up our side, you know, giving up, give the other side more power and give them stuff. And when they reach across the, when you reach across the aisle, they're supposed to, you know, tend to our ways now. They're supposed to give up a little bit because we're in control. And technically, I would not, if it comes to the Bill of Rights, you don't give up nothing because that's us. That's for us. They're not for the, it's not for them to meddle away with it.
So. I'm not saying giving up anything, but no matter who is in power, we need to work together as a.
Oh, yeah, you got to work together to some. But like I said, we don't compromise.
I'm hoping that the Republicans stay in power. I'm not going to say, you know, I don't. But we they need to learn that it's not this is not about winning and losing. It should be about working together, and that's where it's become a contest. So, you know, it doesn't matter. Even with this whole Syria thing, you know, now all of a sudden, you know, all these newspapers are coming up, and did Trump do the right thing? And if he had done nothing, then they would have been bashing him for that. I mean, you know, it's like you can't walk away. You have to do something. You know, what if they like if they just whole country? You know, I guess, you know, quit.
With the Syria thing, there was a treaty signed. And they were not, Syria was not supposed to build poison, you know, make poison weapons of mass destruction. Well, they are, and they're using them against their own citizens, which violates the treaty. And
which
like I said, all and if you look at Article 2 in the Constitution, just hold on a second, Article 2 in the Constitution, what President Trump did was constitutional. He didn't send soldiers out. He didn't go to war, but he destroyed those facilities, which he should have done. That's making this... this poison nerve gas, you know, so that's what he did. And I support that because we don't want to see people dying. That's a horrible death, dying from that gas. That's a terrible way to die.
It should have been done back in 2013, too, when Obama was in office.
I agree with you.
It should have been taken care of. See, that's the problem is, you know, you get so much, he got so much dumped on his lap, you know, I will be honest. I wish he would quit all the Twittering myself. I know he won't, but there are things I wish he would change, like you. I don't agree with everything, but I do believe that he really wants the best for our country. That I do believe.
Oh, yeah. I know that for a fact. You know, like with this wall, that's the best for our country. How many countries, look at Mexico, try to go into Mexico, you can't. You know, they throw you in jail or, you know, and you can't even protest in Mexico unless you're a citizen, you know. And there's other countries like that. We're the only one that has open borders. You know, I mean, except for Canada, you can't come in from Canada. You need to have a passport. Or if you go up to Canada, we need a passport. But down south, for some reason, I don't know why, they want them coming in. So, but anyway, we're getting close to the top here, too, so we're probably going to have to shut her down. I'm going to let you have the choice of what is played. We already played If I Were a Devil. There's one that's called So God Made Me a Farmer, or God Made a Farmer. That's Paul Harvey. And one is called Hard Work. One is Fireman, and one is A Policeman. I'll let you pick whichever you want me to play as a close out.
Gary, you know, I'll do the Farmer. It's close to my heart.
You want to have that one played?
Yes.
Till God Made a Farmer. Okay, well, I tell you what, and I want to thank you for coming on and being a guest on our show, and I hope we can get you on again. This was actually a lot of fun. I like doing this. I can barely hear you. I don't know. You're cutting out really bad. It's probably just a connection. But anyway, so I just want to thank you for that. And any last thoughts before I hit the button?
No, and I appreciate you asking me. I didn't have a lot of time to prepare, but Gary, I'm very proud of you.
Oh, you
and
did great.
Oh, great. Thanks, hon.
You bet. And we'll talk to you later, you know, anytime, you know, so we'll have you on again sometime in the future. How's that sound?
Sounds good, honey. Bye-bye now.
Okay.
You call me at home, okay?
Say that again. I didn't hear that. I broke up.
You can call me at home sometime too, honey.
Okay, I will do that. You take care of yourself.
Okay, you too, honey. Bye-bye now.
Okay, bye-bye. Anyway, folks, we're going to wrap this up. We got about 5 minutes left. And we're going to play So God Made a Farmer by Paul Harvey. So have a great week, and we'll probably talk to you next week.
And on the eighth day, God looked down on his planned paradise and said, I need a caretaker. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody willing to sit up all night with a newborn colt and watch it die, then dry his eyes and say, maybe next year. I need somebody who can shape an axe handle from a persimmon sprout, shoe a horse with a hunk of car tire, who can make harness out of hay, wire, feed sacks, and shoe scraps, who planting time and harvest season will finish his 40-hour week by Tuesday noon, and then painin' from tractor back put in another 72 hours. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody strong enough to clear trees and heave bales, yet gentle enough to yean lambs and wean pigs and tend the pink-combed pullets, who will stop his mower for an hour to splint the broken leg of a meadowlark. So God made a farmer. It had to be somebody who'd plow deep and straight and not cut corners. Somebody to seed, weed, feed, breed, and rake, and disc, and plow, and plant, and tie the fleece, and strain the milk. Somebody who'd bale a family together with the soft, strong bonds of sharing. Who would laugh, and then sigh, and then reply with smiling eyes when his son says that he wants to spend his life doing what Dad does. So God made a farmer.